Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Well, today, God willing, for a very short time, I'm going to be talking about, I believe, a very important subject. Amen. And it is something that, I got this message in March already. Do you understand? And I believe that God wants you to hear what He has prepared for you today. Amen. The title of my message today is Such As I Have, Give I Thee. Such as I have, give I thee. Somebody say, such as I have, give I thee. Hallelujah. Tell a neighbor, say, such as I have, give I thee. Hallelujah. Well, surprisingly to me specifically, for the last, I don't know how many women's conferences we've had, I'm preaching to women concerning their children. I don't know why. It is the messages that God is giving me. Hallelujah. I personally believe that as a woman, you have a great role to play in these last days. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen?
Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus 17. And we'll take it from verse 8.
Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us.
Wait. Read verse 8 again.
While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them.
The what?
The warriors.
The warriors came to attack the children of Israel. You know, when the enemy fights, he doesn't fight fair. These were people who Moses was leading out of Egypt. These were slaves. These were people who had been oppressed for years. They were not warriors. Women and children were in that group. Animals were in that group. And then somebody decide to send warriors. Hey, are you in church or I went somewhere wrong today? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, smile, smile. Obed, smile, smile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not preach until you make me feel like I'm in church. Aha, powerful. The devil does not fight fair. Amen. He sent warriors to a group of people who are just walking to their promised land. Some of them may have been pregnant. Some of them are young. Some of them are weak, are sickly. Just people. And the enemy sends warriors against them. May God defeat every enemy that has been sent against you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Every enemy of your life is defeated in Jesus' name. Every enemy of your life is defeated in Jesus' name. Every enemy of your life is defeated in Jesus' name. It is defeated in Jesus' name. It is defeated in Jesus' name. Put your hands together for the Lord. Continue, sister.
Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron,
Hur,
climbed to the top of a nearby hill.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelite had the advantage.
As long as who?
Moses
did what?
Held up. His staff in his hands.
The staff in his hands. What happened?
The Israelites had the advantage.
Mm. All right, continue.
But whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalek gained the advantage.
Whenever he dropped his hands, the enemy will start winning. Continue.
Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write down this on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi.
Hallelujah. Someone say Jehovah Nissi. I decree in the name of Jesus that you will discomfort your enemies in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, what I want you to notice from what we read here is the fact that the Bible says Moses and these three gentlemen went up to the hill. And when they got to the hill, Moses lifted up his hands. And whenever he did that, the Israelites would start winning. Do you see that? Whenever he got tired and let his hands down, the enemy started winning. Now, the other day I was meditating on this scripture. And I asked myself, if it was Hur, is that how you pronounce it? Hur or Her or Hur, whatever, it's H-U-R. We don't have such names in South Africa. Amen. If he decided to sit where Moses was sitting, and if he lifted up his hands, do you think there was going to be the same effect? What was the other guy? It was Hur and who? And Joshua. No, not Joshua. Who? Aaron. Do you think if Aaron went and sat where Moses was sitting and lifted up his hands, that there was going to be the same effect? No. There is nobody who can take your position as a woman. And specifically as a mother. Only you have the abilities that has been specially given to you for a certain work that God has for you. Other people may try, but if it is not for you, it will not have the same effect. Many people may intercede for your children, but if you don't intercede for your children, it will not have the same effect. If you don't love your children, many people may love them, but it will not have the same effect. Only you have that grace. Nobody else but you. And so you must value it. And you must understand your role in your children's lives. And your role as a woman altogether. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your amens are not blessing me. Yeah. I was blessed by that. If anybody else would have went and sat there and did the same thing, nothing was going to happen. In fact, God was going to ask them, "Who are you?" I only know Moses. But Moses was God's selected, chosen servant. And God only responded to him. And as a role, as a mother and as a woman, God will only respond to you regarding certain things. You have a special place in God's eyes and in God's heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have special giftings and anointings that nobody else has but you. So you must value it. And don't play the fool with it. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
In today's time, you know, I was reading somewhere. There's apparently, I think this person is a superstar in America. You know, in America now, they have something called pronouns. Someone say pronouns. So, now when people introduce themselves, come quickly, sister. What's your name and surname? So, people will now, and you do at a church?
I'm a moderator.
Moderator and?
Praise and worship.
Praise and worship and?
YBD.
You see all her credentials. Let's come this side. The speaker is fighting us. And so in America now, instead of someone introducing themselves the way you've just heard, they will say that my name is, say your name. And my pronouns are she, her. Before they can say anything else. Someone say she, her. So, what that means is that I can be whatever I want. Sometimes they can introduce themselves and say, I'm Nontlanhla Jiyana and my pronouns are he, him. Because when I woke up this morning, I felt like a him. and then the recent one I've heard is, I am they, something like that they, something like that. You see, people, they don't value the grace that has been given them. If God has made you a woman, it's not by mistake.
Amen.
If God has made you a man, it's not by mistake.
Amen.
People generally don't value the grace that they have. That's why they long for other things that, you know, I don't know if you understand what I mean. They want to step out of the jurisdiction of God's law. Put your hands together for her. Thank you. Will you value being a woman?
Amen.
Don't play with it. Even when you're a mother, don't play with it. It's an important role that you have to fulfill. Do you understand?
Amen.
Now come with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 6. I'll take it from verse 1. Let's read the whole story. Oh Lord my God. Is that what you're playing? When I in awesome wonder.
Acts chapter 3 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate.
A man lame from birth. In other words, he was born paralyzed. From the day he was born, he couldn't walk. Do you understand? Yes.
So he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ."
I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. Are we together?
Amen.
All right, finish it off.
"Get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, They were absolutely astonished. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John.
Amen. Put your hands together for the word of God. Oh, for the word of God. Hallelujah. I love it. This gentleman was lame or paralyzed from birth. Remember now. And as a result, life was tough for him. And he was there by a gate called Beautiful. His trade now had become begging. Sitting at the gate of the church and asking people who are coming to worship God for money. Peter and John, the Bible says, went there for prayer. As they were going to church, minding their business, this man caught their attention and he begged them for money. And these two gentlemen said, "As for money, we do not have. But such as I have," someone says, "such as I have, I give to you." And what they gave him is something greater than what money could have given him. I've never seen or read in my whole life where someone who was born paralyzed receiving strength and the ability to rise up and beginning to walk. If they gave him all the millions of the world, he was never going to be able to walk. So what they gave him was far greater than what he was asking for. Now, I believe that the reason why God wants me to share this message with you today is that sometimes you may look down at yourself as a mother, as a father. And instead of you giving your children what you can give them, the only thing you do is just cry and weep that I don't have money. I can't do this for my kids. I can't. So you don't raise them the way that you are supposed to raise them. You don't like what I'm saying, huh? Should we close? Sunday, should we finish? I must preach. Okay. Lipate prazovo dobojida kaya bado kosi amana. Look, when I preach, okay, I'm just, it's the word of God, okay? Nothing but the word of God. Help me, Lord Jesus. Many, many, many parents, they don't play the role that they can play. Because they think that for me to be able to really do well as a parent, I must have money. For me to take care of my children well, I must have money. But God is saying, it's not money that you need. You already have something. And that something that you have, you can give to your children. And what you can give to them is way better than just giving them money. You should notice that if money was the way that if money was what we needed to raise children, then children of rich people should be the best. But it's not always the case. Some of them are the wildest headaches. Are you listening to me, somebody? So, it's not money that you need. Stop thinking that I need money so that I can do this for my children. You already have something. I say you already have something that you can give. Such as I have, give I to thee. Am I dialing numbers? Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14.
Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you.
Do not neglect the spiritual gift. Huh? Read for me again.
Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you.
Somebody say, I have a gift in me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Ask your neighbor, say, are you in a hurry? Ask them, please, ask them. The neighbor, are you in a hurry to go home? What are they saying? Are you sure? Okay. Yes.
This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline.
Read verse 6 again.
This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you.
To fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you. Someone say, I have a gift. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Acts chapter 2 and verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So now the Bible tells us what this gift is. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 verse 45. Acts chapter 10 and verse 45.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 45.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked,
Amen. Someone say, I have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Are you born again?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
Are you a child of God?
Amen.
Then you have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And as a result, you have something that you can give to your children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got something that you can give to your children. You've got something that you can give to your children. You may not have all the money that you wish you can have, but you have something that you can give. You can do something great for them. You can build their future, even if you don't have all the money that you want. Do you understand what I'm saying? So never defeat yourself. Never beat yourself up where your children are concerned and say, oh, I couldn't do this. Oh, I couldn't do this. There is something you can do for your children.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there are many, many things that, you know, when you read scripture, you can find that you can do that can cause you to be a blessing for your children. But today, I'm just going to give you 2 points, you know, with sub points and then we will close. Amen.
Amen.
So, for example, you know, this is not part of my message, but for example, one of the things that you can give your children is teaching. You can teach them.
Amen.
You can teach them.
Amen.
And you have to learn what to teach your children. Some of us, we teach our children without knowing that we are teaching them. And some of us, we teach them bad things without knowing that we are teaching them bad things. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Many white families, they smoke. And in white families, you normally find the father smokes and the mother smokes. Everyone's a smoker in the house. Sooner or later, you will see the children also smoking. This is not by mistake. The children are watching and learning what they see their parents doing. Do you understand? So as a child of God, you have to learn to be able to teach your children the word of God. Very, very important. The Bible says, how shall a young man keep their way pure? Imagine, in this life, how can a young man keep his way pure? When almost every corner there's a tavern, almost every corner there's a party. I was telling Mom Ruti, I was watching a certain man of God. Her daughter was getting married. His daughter was getting married. And I said, wow, what a blessing. And I said to Mom Ruti, oh, Mom Ruti, I'm so afraid about raising our child. And I said, I pray that God will grant us the grace that one day we'll see her getting married. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't know whether it is my mother or my grandmother who was telling me this. Apparently, my grandmother went to a shop, and as she was there shopping, a certain woman was there with her children. But these children were, I don't know, maybe they were teenagers or something. And these children were misbehaving. And when this woman and her children left, my grandmother made a comment to the shop owner as if to say, you know, hey, these children. And the Indian shop owners in KZN, there's a lot of Indian shop owners. The Indian shop owner said, wait a minute, mama, yours are still young. Don't talk because yours are still young. And you don't know yours can be 10 times worse. It's scary to raise children. It's very scary. But we pray God for the grace. The Bible says that it is the word of God that will keep our children pure. Not mathematics, not English, not money, eh? Not what? Not expensive clothes, but the word of God. But the word of God. But the word of God. I wonder how many parents, and I'm speaking to Christians. Are you Christians here, or are you Muslims? Are you what? Yeah, Christians. I wonder how many Christian parents take this seriously. That if I feed my children the word of God, they'll turn out right. Many of us are too concerned about clothes. Then you see your child, the clothes that you went to, Ah, yo, yo. And throwing it down and putting, what is the thing they put then? Ultramel. And stepping on, huh? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Huh? Burning Gucci. Eesh. All the expensive clothes that you went to work for. Wake up in the morning, in the winter, good times, bad times. You wake up so that you can get them expensive clothes. They just throw them in the floor. All your sweat and blood. And you realize that you are wasting your time. It's not the clothes. Even though they can cry, you don't love me. My other friends, let's tell them, shut up. My little daughter, short thing like this. So the other day I was preparing her for school, and I was taking a certain pair of shoes, and she said, "Daddy, I don't like these shoes." I said, "What? What do you know about like and not liking shoes?" So you better wear them before I get angry. When I say before I get angry, she moves. So she wears the shoes. But the whole way to the school, she was sulking. But daddy, I don't like this. I said, you say one more word, I will boil. Hey! I don't want to raise a child who, you know, because of what she's wearing, she has self-esteem. What if a season comes in her life where she cannot afford what she wants? Then she'll commit suicide. So we have to be careful at what we teach our children. And the Bible tells us, advises us. And the Bible is the word of God. And God is wiser than all of us combined. He says, only his word will keep our children pure in this perverse, ugly generation. The other day I was going to fetch her from school and I saw short little things like this. They were coming out of the gate, they were talking, three of them. And they were saying, the one that was complaining that this other guy, I don't know, was saying what to me. And they started swearing. They started swearing. And then they were speaking Sotho, and they said, and they were saying something like, you know, let's go to him. We will show him. And already you can see that they are becoming a gang. And the small things like this. And the vulgar words that were coming out. I couldn't believe that they were coming out. And they were not afraid that adults are walking around. They're just talking freely like that. Of late when I come to church, you know, especially during the week, on Fridays especially when we come to fetch people for praise and worship, there's this boy and girl that stands at a certain corner almost every Friday. And I'll be passing there and they'll be busy. Oh, you don't like what I'm preaching? And all of us are passing. All of us are passing. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They are busy sucking each other's spit. Busy drinking. Whether adults are passing, whether who is passing, they don't care. When I see such things, I think of my daughter and I pray prayers in my heart. Say, my Father, have mercy on me. Grant me the grace to raise her well. It's because, you see, many parents don't know that they have something valuable. Many parents just dash money to their children. Just money. They don't give them valuable things. Like the word of God. Are you listening to me, somebody, or have you gone home? Are you still here? So I want to take away that mind that you need money to be the best parent. You can be the best parent even if you don't have money. You can be. If you only look at money, you'll be a bad parent to those children. So God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help you to say the things that you are supposed to say at the right time to your children. So that your children can grow up having the foundation of the Word of God. Having the fear of God living in them. So that even when you are not there, when their friends are trying to lure them into bad things, they will say, no, I can't go that beyond that far. It's too much for me. All of us have been young here. Is there somebody who's never been young before? Lift up your hand. I want to see below you live. Go crazy. All of us have been young. And if you have been young, you've been exposed to all kinds of people in your life. True or not true? Yeah, we know. And if we are not careful, they lead us into all sorts of horrible things. All the sins we've committed in our life, if you actually look carefully, it's traced to a friend or friends. So I'll tell you my stories, okay? It's not easy to tell them because, you know, it's not easy, but I will share. For your sake and for your children's sake. Hallelujah. Mom, Banjo, just look. Don't look me. Hallelujah. All right. Glory be to God. Just intercede for me. One day. My God and my God. I think I've told you this one before. One time I was walking home. And as I was walking home, I was walking somewhere. As I was walking, I see this other friend of mine coming towards me. A friend who used to live, back then we used to live in Sunnyside. And this guy started walking towards me. And as he was walking towards me, there was one girl on his right and one girl on his left. And he was walking with them like this. Lerato, just smile to the pastor, okay? I'm saying difficult things there, so don't scare me by being angry. Hallelujah. And so the guy was walking like that. A big man just walking. And as I was passing, he greeted me and he was talking to me. And he said, "Don't you want to come with us?" And when I looked at the situation, I said, "This one is bigger than me." I said, I'm in a hurry. And I ran. Hallelujah. It is because of the teachings that I have received at home that I couldn't follow. Otherwise, I would have been exposed to things that today I wouldn't be a pastor. Are you here? You've gone somewhere. Yeah. But you see, many parents, they are more focused on, "I need to buy my children Nike shoes." Sometimes I wonder, I see a child wearing a Nike shoe. So do they even know what this shoe is? That they are wearing this. But you can see that it's the parent that is already feeding a certain type of mindset to the child. Because the child wants to. Am I saying something? Me, I don't care. I don't care for Nike shoes. Ooh. My daughter will have to really get her own job before she can get her own a Nike shoe. Because with one Nike shoe, I can buy you 3 shoes. That's how my mind thinks. I can feel arrows. Let me move on. Let me just. but for all of an honest truth, the child doesn't know what they are wearing. But we are the one who gives them that mind. And sooner or later, they are harassing you. When you are going to buy them shoes, now they want the Nike because you taught them the Nike. Now you are suffering. Now you have to. Now you become a beast in the house because you are being stressed by the desire for Nike. That's what you've taught them. That's what you've given them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So be careful what you teach them. Okay. And I want to encourage you, make the word of God everything in your home. It's very important. It's the greatest advice that you can give, that I can give you. And if the word of God is going to be everything, then you must know it so that you can teach it. You can't teach it if you don't know it. You can't. And you have to live it. Because children don't only follow what you say, they follow what you do. In fact, they follow more what you do than what you say. There are many people, right, who have had a miserable youth because of their parents. Some people grew up in homes where their parents abused them bitterly. And you'll find someone growing up, a young man growing up, hating his father. because of what the father did to him as he was growing up. Or even what the father did to the mother. The way the father was beating the mother. The way the father was doing this. And the way the father was doing that to that parent. To the other parent. But unknowingly, over the years, you start seeing that same boy who was hating his father for what he was doing. You see that same boy doing the same thing to the woman in his life. And you see that same boy maltreating the children. Because you see, what we do registers louder than what we say. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what you do is way more important than what you say. So you have to know the word of God and you must live it so that your children can also walk in the same path. Put your hands together for Jesus. So today, the simple message I have for you, for your children, is that you must never give up on them. Okay? Never, ever give up on your children. Someone say, I'll never give up on my children. I can't hear you. Say it louder. I'll never give up on my children. Yeah. I remember one day, a former colleague of mine, he was in love. Someone say in love. He was in love with a certain sister, and to the point that he said, I want to marry this girl. He went to his family, introduced the girl to her, to them. They liked the lady. And then he convinced his family, he said, I want to go pay lobola. And they went to pay lobola. And now they were preparing for the wedding. As they were preparing for the wedding, this woman started becoming mad. She just became a beast. As that guy was telling me, he was saying, do you see this car? She beat me here. Do you see this scar? It's her. Do you see? He was pointing all the scars, and it was this woman. Because when she becomes wild, she can anything she can find. And so, to cut the long story short, they broke up with this lady. Do you understand? And because now they broke up, there was now an issue of where the children are going to stay. Are they going to stay with the lady or are they going to stay with the guy? So to cut the long story short, what happened is they stayed with the lady. But this lady was a serial drunkard. On Friday, she will leave children, very young. She will leave them and she will go and groove. She was a serial groovist. And she will groove. And the children will be left there Friday, Saturday. She will come back whenever she's coming back. And because, you know, when he tried to take the children, whatever, she'll go to court. And before you know it, the children are back with her. And one time, police came to our office. And there's something, I forgot what they call, where the woman now had done something that will cause my boss that when he pays this guy, a certain portion must go to her. Do you know what that is called? Ingi? Ganesh. Am I saying it correctly? Ganesh. Hey. Now imagine you are working and then now all your colleagues are seeing what is happening and are knowing what is happening in your life. And so this guy, one time I was working late at work, and he came to me and explained to me everything that was going on. And he said to me, they called me Mr. X at work. And he said, Mr. X, I'm tired. He said, I'm tired. I said, I'm at a point where now I'm just going to leave the children with the woman. And maybe someday when they are older, they will remember me and come to me. I said to him, sir, don't give up. Fight for them. Fight for them. I said, when you go to court, because he had to go to court, he was tired of going to court. I said to him, prepare. Prepare. Write notes. And fight for them. Because one day, you think that one day they will chase you, only to find that one day they'll be angry and hate you because you didn't fight for them. I said, fight for them. By the time we finished talking, he said, thank you, Mr. X. I feel encouraged. I will fight for my children. I want to encourage you to never, ever, ever give up on them. Never, ever, ever give up on them. No matter how far they have gone, no matter how deep they've dug themselves into trouble, never, ever, ever, ever give up on your children. Never, ever, 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 ever give up on them. Never, ever, ever give up on them. Can you hear me, somebody? Let me show you some parents who never gave up on their children. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20.
Luke chapter 15 and verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he returned home to his father. And while he was still along the way of his father, he saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
One day you will hear these words from your child. In Jesus' mighty name. Now I'm sure you know the story. This is the story of the prodigal son. One day he rose up because this young man was a party animal. You understand? He was a serial groovist. Here we call them groovist. Hey, you see them. One time I was coming to church in the morning to pray. Around 8:30 I was coming to pray. And as I was passing Extension 4, there was a woman. You can see that this one, she has been grooving. I think she had even lost her shirt because it was only bra and jacket. And she was just, and she was talking. Hey, she was talking. I said, my God. And the way she looked to me, it's like she was not finished. She was still going to groove more. So this prodigal son was a serial groovist. He loved grooving. They'll go from one party to one party. One lady said to me, you know, in my grooving days, I would leave home on Friday as if I'm going to school. But in my bag, it will not be school books. It will be clothes to change. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. I said she will go to groove on Friday and she'll come back home on Monday. So this prodigal son was a serial groovist. And you see, the grooving life, it demands money. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he demanded money from his father. He said, I want my inheritance now. So his father gave him his inheritance. And he went and he grooved. You know, sometimes on social media, we see people who are grooving and we see the slip of the alcohol. Some of those things are real. And one night, they spend 200,000 rand. One night, they spend 500,000. Can you please give it to me? I have a lot of things I can do with such money. You see, people, they drink it and then but 2 days later, it's finished. So this prodigal son went and lived that type of life. And he drank the money, he parted the money and finished all of it. And as he was busy partying, the Bible says a famine came to the land. In other words, like a recession. Like something that, you know, we are at the door of because of the wars that are happening in the world. and everything finished. And all the friends he was grooving with disappeared. And the Bible tells us that he became so hungry that he got a job feeding pigs. And when he was feeding the pigs, he was even hungry for the food that the pigs were eating. If you know pigs, pigs eat anything. So the Bible says that he was fighting with the pigs for the food. As the pigs were eating, he was pushing one. He said, "Hey, this one is mine." And the Bible says he would feign for the husks that the pigs were eating. Those husks, and I researched, it's like, you know, when you eat an orange, the peels, you throw them away. He was eating that type of things. Not the orange, but the peels of the thing. And then one day, as he was fighting with the pigs, the Bible says he came to himself. His mind came back to him. And he said, "Mara, the servants at my father's house are living better than how I'm living here." Then he said, "I'll go back to my father and say, 'I'm sorry. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven.'" And he said to his father, "You know what? Even if I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore, even if you can, I just want to be a servant." But the father, the Bible says, when he was far off, far, someone say far. He said, he saw the walk. He said, "That walk looks familiar. He looks like my son." And the Bible says the father ran, hugged the child, embraced him, and kissed him. When this young boy started talking and said, "Lord, Father, I'm sorry, I've sinned," and he said, "I just want to be a servant," the father said, "Bring the ring." Now the ring is a symbol of sonship. The boy was saying, "I want to be a servant." The father was saying, "You are my son." And the father said, "Bring the choice robe to show that you are my son." And he gave him the choicest robe and made a party for him. When his brother came back, he was angry. He said, "I've been living with you for many years. You've never done any party for me." The father said, calm down. Your brother was dead, and now he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. So you see the heart of this man. He never gave up on his son. Never ever gave up. So you also must never, ever give up on your children. Never, ever, ever give up. One day, as we see, as the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. One day your child will come back to himself also. She will come back to herself. Don't give up. 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 That life is valuable. That life is valuable. Don't give up on it. Did you say you're in a hurry? Read for me Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. Mark chapter 5, take it from verse 15. This is the story of the madman of Gadara. Do you remember it? All right.
Mark chapter 5 and verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane.
Do you remember how mad this guy was? The Bible says that he left home and made his home in the tombs. That's where he was living. And the Bible says that when he was there, he would be cutting himself. Cutting himself. And the Bible says that he was naked. Not one shred of clothes on him. Genuinely mad, proper mad, not half proper. But after an encounter with Jesus, the Bible says that they saw him in his right mind, sane, dressed. Read it again, that part.
He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened.
God give you a miracle that will make your neighbors afraid. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him.
Hallelujah. After this guy was delivered from demons, the Bible says that he went to the 10 towns. In the King James, it says Decapolis. 10 towns, and he went and preached the gospel. He brought 10 towns, 10 cities to the Lord. Your amen is not blessing me. He brought 10 cities, 10 cities to the Lord. I was just, looking at some demographics recently. And in Soweto, someone says Soweto, there are 1.8 million people in Soweto alone. Soweto. This is a township. This guy brought 10 towns, 10 cities to the Lord. He was a shining star. He was a great person. And the enemy knew that this boy has greatness. And so he arrested him with 6,000 demons in his life. Nobody will be normal after 6,000 demons enter you. You can't be normal. But when he met Jesus, he was set free. Came to himself. Became absolutely normal. And became on fire for God. Don't give up on your children. There is something they can give. There is something they can yet give. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. Now, imagine the situation. This is an almost impossible situation. How do you come back from a genuinely mad person living in the graveyards, cutting himself and destroying himself, crying every day, walking naked? At least some of our children, even though they are mad, their madness is that they go play and they forget, and we have to shut. Come back home. Go bath. That's the madness you are angry with. Go bath. Now this one was, it was an impossible situation, but God still made a turnaround, and he became a great man. I don't know, this is over 2,000 years ago. We are still talking about him. And you're already giving up on yours. Yours is just failing maths. Maths. You feel like dying. The other day I was going to fetch my daughter, and the woman was shouting at her child. Lentem nyama le, lentem nyama. I was like, eesh. Oh God. The child is in grade one. Already you are tired. Already you are calling your child names. In grade one. You've already given up. Can you hold your neighbor and shake them and say, please don't give up. Please don't. That child is going to show you something you've never seen before. That they are great. No, tell your neighbor. Don't encourage your neighbor. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Am I preaching to myself or I'm preaching to... Okay. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22.
Matthew 15 and verse 22.
If your child cannot do maths, don't be discouraged, okay? All right? There's still history, there's still geography, there's still what? Yeah? I can hear you. Arts and culture, life sciences, there's still too many other subjects, okay? Don't give up on your child. I think law doesn't care about maths. There's a subject called, there's a law. Do you know law? They don't care about maths, tourism, whatever. There are millionaires that they did tourism and are millionaires today. Maths is not God, okay? Hello? Yeah. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. There's still too much future. There's too much. Amen. Yes.
Matthew 15 and verse 22. Mm-hmm. A gentle woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely."
My daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely.
But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table."
Listen to this. This woman is in trouble. She's crying for her child, and Jesus is calling her a dog. Some of you, if we step on you by mistake in church, we'll never see you again. Jesus said that, read that part about the dogs.
Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs."
Throw it to the dogs. See, if I'm helping you, it's like I'm helping a dog. Say, tell your neighbor, say, don't get offended easily, please. Continue. I love this woman's response. This is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Let's hear what she says.
She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs..."
That's true. It's okay, I'm a dog. Okay, it's true. But
"Even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table."
Even dogs, at least they eat the crumbs and the things that fall off their master's table. In other words, if I don't qualify, at least give me some breadcrumbs, nyana, something that can help me with the situation that I have. Let's hear Jesus' response.
"Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed.
Somebody say, never give up. 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 But pastor, I've been praying for 5 years. Pray another 5. It's okay. Don't give up. 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 The situation is going to change. It's going to change. You know, some people, they pray so much that they even get angry at God. So, but I've been praying, nothing is changing. Don't give up. This woman didn't qualify for what she was asking for. The reason she didn't qualify is because Jesus had not died yet. So Jesus had to die so that his blood, through his blood, all of us can qualify. So because this event had... That's what Jesus was saying. It's like, it's too early. I can't do it for you now. But this woman was saying, I'm not going home without my blessing. My child has been suffering for years, and I know that my child is better than just her being oppressed by demons. I know she has a great future. And no matter what Jesus said, even if the disciples were saying, Lord, please chase this woman away, this woman said, I'm not going anywhere. There's something important I need from this man called Jesus. She never gave up. And the Bible says her daughter was made completely whole. Am I encouraging somebody here? Glory be to God. Mark chapter 9 verse 17. Quickly. Mark chapter 9 from verse 17.
Mark chapter 9 verse 17. Mm-hmm. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out this evil spirit, but they could not do it. Jesus said to them, You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this has been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing and rebuked the evil spirit, Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A mom ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples.
Amen, amen. Here's another one who had a child that couldn't speak and couldn't talk. That was number one. Number two, the child was epileptic. He would just start having epileptic seizures. You know, someone who has epileptic seizures, scary. When we were growing up, my younger brother, there's a brother, then the third one. I don't know how to say that one. Huh? The third born. When he was young, he used to have epilepsy. And I remember one day, my parents had gone to KZN for, I don't know whether it was a wedding or a funeral, I can't remember now. And he started having seizures. And it was just in the house, it was me, him, and the helper. And the helper called my parents, who were in Pietermaritzburg. They drove from Pietermaritzburg because that thing is scary. A person can die. They can swallow their tongue. It's just a scary thing. Do you understand? Sometimes it's not that our children are groovist or they are whatever. Sometimes we have a sickly child that is forever sick. Don't give up. I tell you, that same brother of mine, there's no trace of epilepsy whatsoever in him whatsoever. Completely healthy, no problem whatsoever. Never give up on the Lord. And never give up on your children. I don't care how bad the situation is. God can turn it around. He can. I said, He can. And He will. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Please don't give up on them. Please don't give up on them. Please don't give up on them. No matter how far they have gone, don't give up. 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 When the enemy sees that you have given up, they become happy. Because you see, you as a mother, you are like that Moses who was sitting on the mountain, lifting up the hands. The minute you give up, the enemy will start winning. Your child is being kept alive because of you. Because you have faith that my child can be transformed. My child can be better. Because you are praying, you are crying out to God. Some of you, your children should have been dead by now. But God, because of you, is preserving them. And one day, you'll be shocked at what God will do through that life. So don't give up until you see that glory. Are you listening to me? All right, let me now wrap up my message. Come with me quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I long for a retreat. Very soon we'll start having retreats in Jesus' name. Read for me verse 15.
Genesis chapter 3 verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel.
Read it one more time.
And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring.
This is God speaking to Eve. Are you understanding?
Amen.
And God is speaking to Eve, speaking to the snake, huh? And says that I will cause what? Hostility against
you.
The you here is the snake. Uh-huh. And the woman. Continue.
And between your offspring and her offspring.
Between the snake's children and the woman's children. Uh-huh.
He will strike your head and you will strike his heel.
The woman's child is going to strike the head of the snake. How many know that if you strike the head, you kill the snake? Do you know that?
Amen.
And the snake will do what?
And you will strike his heel.
He will strike the heel of the woman's child. Those of us who our children, you know, give us heartache, heart attacks, you know, headaches, sleepless nights, tears, whatever. Let me tell you prophetically that is the striking of the heel. Do you understand? But the story will not end there. Your child will still hit the snake's head. And when your child comes to himself and hits the head of the snake will die. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm preaching to myself here. So your child is still limping because of the effects of the poison of the snake. But I tell you in the name of Jesus, sooner or later, that thing, he will be healed. He will be okay. And then he will say, hey, what are you doing? Pa! Your child will come back to themselves. Your child will walk in the destiny that God has for them. Your child will become what they were born to become. They will do the things that they were born to do. Because you see, the prophecy doesn't say he will bruise your heel and it ends there. Hey, it says that the child of the woman will hit the head of the snake. So every time when you see your child giving you problems, just say, no, no, no. I know the end of the story. My child will hit the head of the snake. It's not over until they hit the head of the snake. Tell your neighbor, say, it's not over. Your child will rise and will hit the head of the serpent. Put your hands together for Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Yeah, it's going to happen. You just don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep interceding for them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, the danger of a snake is not its teeth. Are you understanding? You will see in the wild when animals, the predators, when they hunt, they go for the throat or the neck of the of whatever prey they are going for. And you'll see the wild animals, like lions and whatever, they've got strong teeth. But a snake, the design is different. It's got needle-like teeth. You understand? And the teeth are not the danger. The danger is the poison. So, the poison is the big problem. And normally the poison is influence. Influence that they pick up at school, that they pick up around their friends, that they pick up whatever. So your child has just been bitten by the snake. And the effects of the poison is what is making him or her behave in the way that they are behaving. But I'm here to prophesy into your children's life that that effect of that poison is about to finish. Please say amen like you're a believer. Can I hear a louder amen? Your child will wake up from the effects of that poison and will say, hey man, kill the snake one time. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Because of you, God will do it.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.